Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman. He is looking sharp. He's the water damage whisperer. He's Mr. Bill Curry Ford. He is the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I think he needs another nickname for the 25-26 season. Not sure what that's going to be. Perhaps the
I'm with Kyle Trask. work off the Kyle Trask.
Lee DeCamper's here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks to everybody who listens to the podcast and subscribes, especially at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict.
Clear cut place to start is Lee DeCamper at an AC/DC concert, getting a late ticket at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Well done, Lee. How was the show?
It was fun. I mean, it's what I expected. The reviewer for the Times, it really wasn't a review, but I loved his encapsulation. He said, when I was younger, I didn't appreciate them. I was too snobbish. And then I began to embrace them for what they are, a fun party band.
John Gruden's favorite band and a favorite of Jason Light.
And he was obviously, Jason Light was up. He had a luxury box. Chucky, I guess, was like second row or something. Enough about AC/DC. I love him. Ira wants to hear about him, but his listeners want to hear Ira talk Bucks
this
football.
This podcast has been known as the highway to hell, Steve. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, Gruden was sitting farther back from some other video I saw, but hey, he had a pretty good seat, that's for sure. And Sage, everybody's also talking about these incredible deals at Bill Curry Ford. They're ending very soon. Employee pricing, what they call plus-plus.
I can't believe they've lasted this long, Steve.
Well,
these are deep cuts.
The month is fading away here, and this was a special incentive by Ford, but Bill Curry Ford has plus-plus. So they've got employee pricing, and you can get up to $5,000 below employee pricing. No payments for 90 days. They'll pay up to $10,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. Now, that means you got to have a nice vehicle to get the $10,000.
And the Sage discount on top of everything?
And the Ira Kaufman podcast is in effect. It never goes out of effect. But you got to call Sean Sullivan or email him. He is at BillCurryFord.com. Curry's the family name. They're a family-owned dealership. They are 1 mile north on Dale Mabry Highway, a mile north of the stadium on the east side. Huge showroom. Sean will set you up with that discount. But you know what? Get to their website and shop. That's how you do it. See all the transparent pricing. And check out their service options. If you need service on your vehicle, Bill Curry Ford is the best. Free loaner, mobile service. If you want to come out to your home in North Tampa to work on something, they will do it.
Open Sunday.
Open Sundays for express services. And, of course, you can buy a vehicle on Sunday. They're the best. I even have Curry Cares as my insurance company, Ira. Unbelievable.
Nice.
Bill Curry Ford. .com. Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk about them later, Ira. We love them so much. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. They're your first phone call anytime you have a disaster at your property of any kind, except you spilling your grape juice on the couch. That doesn't count, Ira. Sage, before we get to Simeon Rice and all the activities at One Buck today, I wanted to throw this past you because we've written about it before, and I wrote about it the other day. But now it's coming into light, especially since Mike Florio and Chris Sims made a spectacle of it on their TV show for NBC, Pro Football Talk. And during that spectacle, Florio said he was going to be writing a big article about it. So he was sort of previewing, I'm writing about this. And he said, I may have to turn off my phone or block 813 area code because who knows what kind of nasty texts I'm going to get.
Pot shot at the Sage?
No. Not your phone call, Ira. But Florio was making the obvious point, the one that the Bucks don't want everybody screaming about. Baker Mayfield is woefully underpaid. He's 20th or 21st highest paid quarterback in the league. Most of the, or half of those guys above him are making $50 million plus. There's Mayfield at 3 years, $100 million. And Brock Purdy just got guaranteed $55 million a year for 3 years. And Florio and Sims believe 9 out of 10 NFL people, and they talk to all of them at these events, coaches, general managers, 9 out of 10 would say Mayfield's the better quarterback and the preferred quarterback to Brock Purdy. Yet Mayfield is making $20 million less now. And when are the Bucks going to extend him? How far will he push it? He's got him over a barrel. What do you make of this whole situation?
It's a made-up controversy, Lee. There's no controversy here. If Mayfield plays like the three of us think he will, and the Bucs have a successful season, he's going to be taken care of. Not just because the 49ers foolishly paid Purdy all that money because he's not elite, he's good. That doesn't mean that Baker Mayfield's got to make $58 million on an average of a new contract. Lee, if the Bucs want to keep a player, their history is they generally keep the player. They don't have a lot of alternatives to Baker Mayfield.
No.
Lee, he's going to get paid. He's going to be paid handsomely. Right now, they reap the benefit of the fact that he hadn't resurrected his career. Now he has. There's no controversy here. He's going to be a Buck for a while.
I don't know if I'd classify what I'm about to say as a controversy, but I, Steve, I get the impression from what you're saying Florio is talking about. He's all but saying, if I was Mayfield's agent, I'd say sit out.
He didn't imply that or say that.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking that. He's got 2 years left, Ira, 25 and 26. But the question is, after this season, does he say, hey, look, let's extend me now. I deserve it.
I can see that, you know, Steve, after this season. I can see it.
But that's a big change. We don't know if he gets the money bug in him. I don't know.
I'll say this. It's politically incorrect. Bob's Mayfield, if he can get a win or two in the playoffs this year, I'd be looking at Lamar Jackson money. If I recall correctly, hasn't Purdy been in two conference championships? Jackson's been in one. But, you know, you can't say anything wrong about Jackson. If Mayfield has a decent year, if you're Mayfield's agent and you know you got the Bucks by the cojones, say, hey, I want Jackson money or something reasonably close.
I think he's top 10 right now. He's right there, 10, 11, 12. Steve, 41 touchdowns, 71% completions, Lee. 70, and with Godwin
missing really
half the season,
yeah,
you know.
That's a great point. Godwin's out half the season.
Steve, he's going to be a Buck for a good long time. They don't have a lot of alternatives.
No.
Let's be honest.
I understand. I didn't say it was a controversy. I'm saying, you know.
I don't think he's going to hold out. I don't think that's the Mayfield profile. I don't think he's going to do it.
Here's the thing, Ira. The more guys get paid, like Purdy, who don't necessarily deserve what they're getting, or maybe they do if that's the market, but the more guys get paid $20 million more than Baker, he's going to have a limit of like, hey, what the hell's going on here? We already have right now over $50 million a year. We've got Hurts, Jackson, Herbert, Goff, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott's at 60. Guys who are making $15 million or $10, $12 million or so more than Mayfield, Cousins, Kyler Murray, you know, Deshaun Watson. You know, at some point, maybe that comes after this season where he says, what are we doing here? I don't know. Or I think I agree with you, though, Ira, that Mayfield could become that guy who says, you know what? F everybody's perception of me. I'm going to be that guy who plays for a little less, and we'll work this out. Give me a long-term deal for less than what the market is. I don't need $220 million if I can get $190.
Lee, the fact remains that the Bucs were very fortunate in their timing with Mayfield because nobody was knocking his door down, Lee. No, you don't knock the Bucs for that. They gave him, and he was happy to get it.
Yeah.
He was happy
otherwise
to get a chance to start.
Yeah, otherwise he wouldn't sign it.
Lee, I think after this season, if it goes well, I think they give him a new deal after this season. I don't think you want him going into a lame duck season.
You basically extend him but give him a nice raise.
A nice raise. A nice raise. Steve, there were quite a few guys on that list that you just mentioned that I think Mayfield's better than.
Oh, yes.
Quite a few.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
including
absolutely.
Including Tua, for sure.
Yeah, Tua has never been that impressive.
Absolutely.
Certainly not consistent.
It's just something to keep in the back of fans' mind as they figure out, what are we doing with these pieces? Are we going all in for a Super Bowl this year? And if Mayfield wants a raise after this year, that hurts what you can do. That's the whole point. If he's going up $20 million or something and Mike Evans doesn't have a contract, yet Jason Light has cap room. And one of the guys they threw a signing bonus to change their, you know, pay up front so we can kick cap money down the road this year was Mayfield. He redid his deal. I don't know. I just want to make sure the guy's happy, Ira. The Bucs have played it very well so far, but you know what? God forbid Josh Grizzard moves on to a head coaching gig this year after this season. Let's say the Bucs have a good year. Offense is top four. Grizzard moves on. And maybe Mayfield at some point says, I don't want to deal with this every year with the new offense, and this sucks.
Well, he might think that way, but what I really think he's going to think of is, look what I'm surrounded by here in Tampa Bay. Where am I going to get better?
Yes.
Where am I going to get better?
I agree.
Now, Evans isn't going to last forever. He's not, but they just drafted a kid
Bingo.
Who's a pretty good replacement.
You know, you mentioned this. I hope I don't go off the deep end here, but you mentioned it, so I'm going to fly with it. I like Chucky. I think he was better than Father Dungy. I know Ira wants to throw his Pepsi at me for saying that.
No.
I'm starting to get a little worn out, this woe is Chucky routine. If he really wanted to coach football that badly, there's a school about 15 miles from where he lives, probably less, where I'm sure he can get a couple $100,000 and coach, and I'm damn sure confident the school would bend over backwards to have a Super Bowl champion being their offensive coordinator. So can we calm down about Chucky not getting jobs? There's one out there that he could have.
Yeah.
If he really wanted to coach.
He's got a great job now.
He's got a hell of a job now. No pressure.
I'm fine with Lee's rant. I love John Gruden and his contributions, and what a fun guy to have around. And we talked last podcast about how now he's being re-embraced in a huge way with the Bucks. But he does talk about, you know, he wants to coach again. Well, he's got a million opportunities. If he can't bear to be off that grass coaching guys, there's so many places he could coach.
Wasn't he in the bubble the other day? He was in the Bucks bubble.
Bubble with the National Coaching Academy. They brought him in.
Screaming at people. Screaming.
Yeah, not too bad. His speech to these coaches was captured by Barstool Sports.
Nice.
And he was just coaching them up about process and stuff. It was very interesting. It was really good. I mean, he clearly has the juice to still lead a team. But this was not silliness, Chucky. This was, hey, I've got 25 coaches in front of me, and I've got a PowerPoint behind me, and we're going through coaching points and mentality. It was really interesting.
I'm trying to think of how old Chucky is.
He's 61, I think.
61?
Thank you.
He's had a few beers.
But he doesn't look 60. And he certainly has the personality and enthusiasm of someone in their 20s.
So we got to remind everybody, you have to put Florida's Elite Restoration in your phone, put it in your favorites, bookmark it, so you know who to call when you have mold, fire damage, flood damage, water damage, storm damage. You call them first, and they're a restoration company. They're going to come to your property and figure out what's going on, and they have so much experience on the insurance side of the game that they know how to guide you and make sure that the insurance company actually pays to repair your issues. People get screwed all the time by poor guidance or just calling up and getting taken advantage of, because you know how it is, Ira. Insurance companies want to cut corners, and doesn't mean they leave you with a destroyed house, but it doesn't mean you're going to get everything you're supposed to get. So you got to have a plan. 5-star Google reviews, floridaselite restoration.com. Now they've got a sage discount, as Ira likes to call it. So when you call them, just mention, hey, I heard about you guys on Joe Bucks Fan, or from Ira Kaufman, the sage, he's my buddy. And when they come out to your home to do a free evaluation, when you're finished, if you need their services, they will very simply give you $500 back. And maybe that's cash for your deductible or cash in your pocket. Floridaselite Restoration.com. My voice is dying. I need restoration on my voice.
There you go. Ira's name carries more weight.
You
might get a few extra shekels of a deal.
Steve, you don't have any mold going on in your vocal cords, do you, Stevie?
No, you know what? There's a lot of chlorine in this water, which kind of dries your throat out sometimes. I don't know. I shouldn't be drinking this. All right.
What's on your mind, Steve?
I'm used to pristine water, Ira.
What's on your mind?
What kind of water is this? Simeon Rice introduced Buccaneers Ring of Honor. Glazers out there. What do the fans need to know?
16th member, Lee, of the Ring of Honor. A little bit overdue, maybe. He was very proud to get this honor bestowed on him. Very proud. Very emotionally. You got a great picture of him. People can see it on Joe Bucks Fan later. I'm sure you'll put it up.
It's on Twitter now.
Great picture by Lee DeKemper. Lee,
thank you.
Maybe you should have went into photography. You never know.
No, you're right.
You could have a second
career. I used to be a photographer.
So there you go.
If someone put a gun to my head and said, what's your best trait? I would say photography. But it bored me.
Steve, right off the bat, he couldn't speak. Right off the bat.
Did he even get two words out?
He needed a tissue, which was provided by his younger sister.
Oh, his sister.
Yeah,
okay.
Younger sister. Talking about his parents, the journey, you know, and he lost both of his parents. Yeah. And he's only 50. So
wow.
I never seen him that emotional, Lee.
Wow.
He could barely get the words out
really
in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. He really struggled.
He spoke from the heart, right, Lee?
Oh, very much so. Ira knows him better than I do, so me saying I never saw Simeon like that doesn't mean much. But I only know if he got two words out, he broke down. He broke down and was speechless. He hung his head, and he couldn't compose himself. It was a very emotional moment.
It's like Steve after the Bucks lost in Atlanta that night in week five. Steve couldn't speak. He was all
or
busted.
Like me when they say last call.
He was all busted up.
A couple of important things about that now. If you remember the late Steve White, who was a Bucks defensive end, passed away. Actually,
sharp guy, Steve White.
He was a columnist for Joe Bucks
sharp
fan
guy.
For
sharp guy.
A year plus until he didn't like what I wrote about Raheem. I said that he was soft on in an in-game decision. I said it was soft, weak decision. And Steve White quit. He was like, I can't be a part of that, which was kind of funny. But anyway, he used to say that, look, defensive ends, the good ones, most of these guys, they're a little wacky. They're over-emotional. They're a little crazy. You got to be a little nuts to be a good edge rusher in the National Football League. Now, I'm not saying Simeon Rice crying in 2 minutes makes in 5 seconds makes him nuts, but it speaks to the edge there and the wackiness. And
he always had the edge, Steve. He had the edge.
There he is. Sage is recognized.
Thank you. Hey, I heard that at AC/DC. Some guy was in the crowd kept yelling "Tampa," and hardly anybody was responding.
Steve, two patrons from Hooters recognizes us.
Yeah, Ira gets
a shout out,
a major shout out here walking
hey,
by.
How about buying me some wings, buddy?
Ira's like, "Where's my tater tots?" But you think of Hassan Reddick, and he's had a lot of issues where he's been. Not major, not that he's crazy or anything, but you know he's an emotional guy, and this reminded me of I heard the audio, Ira, from Rock Riley. When you were talking to Todd Bowles at the Arians Foundation, you didn't even know I was listening, but you were there.
I didn't even know that Rock was next to me.
I heard the audio, and Todd Bowles was asked about the locker room camaraderie. This
How
is last week.
How much does it mean? Is it overrated?
You know, finding good guys and all this other stuff. And he's like, well, we don't need all choir boys.
That's
it gets
right.
a little overemphasized. That's and then
right.
Bowles says, but I don't want anybody who's on their way to Alcatraz either. That was Bowles actually said that.
That was good.
Alcatraz.
And, you know, he really tried to say that players come in all shapes and kinds and styles. And, you know, we got a group that fits. We know some key components, but you can have overly emotional players. Your thoughts?
Ultimately, looking back at Simeon's press conference, you know what I think was the most interesting part, Lee? Him talking about Sapp.
Yeah, how they didn't get along at first.
Him and Sapp, two alpha males. And now he's the new guy in town, and Sapp's used to dominating the headlines and the media, mm-hmm. and here comes this free spirit. It took a while, right, Lee, before they formed a mutual admiration society.
Yeah, it was more out of respect than like. To that point, what got me about Simeon, he said he knew about the Bucks, he knew what they stood for, he knew who was on the defense, and he said, you know, I better keep it quiet. Out of respect for Lynch and Brooks and Sapp, I better lighten up.
Until he makes his mark, right, Lee?
He said he found out fairly quickly he was allowed to be himself. And so the personality came out. Another thing he said that I thought was great, and I know a lot of Bucks fans hope this resurrects itself somehow. But Rice said when they'd play in the daytime in that Tampa heat in September, and he said the other offensive linemen were dead, and they're looking for a crack in the defense just to kind of...
And he's dancing, right, Lee?
He said they're looking for a crack in the defense to get some sort of emotional boost. And they look across the line. He's playing air guitar. And he goes, and they're done.
They're done.
They're done. Like, oh, no. How are you doing this?
He also talked about how Monty Kiffin was, I think, the driving force, maybe, in getting him to Tampa. And he saluted Rod Marinelli, which he should, because Rod was dealing with some very strong personalities on that D-line. I asked him about going to Philly for the NFC title game. He said, look, I know as a team, we didn't have a lot of good history going to Philly. But he said, they can't block me. I felt confident as hell. They can't block me. I don't care who they put up against me. His confidence is unbelievable. Steve, one more point I want to make before turning it over. And I think this is a big one, Lee. And I think I've mentioned it maybe... in a past year of podcast talking about Simeon. It's an aspect that people take for granted. But, Lee, when Roy and I were in, working out an old Buck place or whatever, and it was like 6:30 at night, and we're finishing up our stories, and I look out, and Simeon's on the field by himself.
Wow.
By himself, running, doing some drills. It happened all the time, and he talked about that. People think he did this all so naturally and because of talent. He worked for it, Steve.
10:30 at night, he said Chucky chased him home.
Chucky said, get out of here, Simeon.
For the younger fans who don't really remember Simeon Rice or certainly don't remember his history of getting into the league, very much Miles Garrett-like as far as he was just a chiseled specimen of extreme fitness. And what, I think it was a number four overall pick by...
Number three, maybe.
Three or four by the Cardinals. And, you know, the Cardinals sucked, and they certainly were not on national TV. And he was not in a good situation, but he just played at a high level at all times.
Hit free agency in 01, and the Bucks pounced on him.
And, you know, that number, 67.5 sacks in his first five Bucks seasons. Yeah, you know, that's a big number.
That's a Hall of Fame number, Stevie.
That's a big number.
That's a big
cover. What else, guys? The Glazers, what did they have? Anything interesting they had to say?
Well, the Glazers had something interesting, and so did Simeon. And what I mean by that is the Glazers gave Ira unprovoked, unsolicited pointers to get Simeon Rice in the Hall. Like, for 8 years, he led the league in sacks. That was more than Strahan.
Yeah.
More than, I always forget
I think
his
it was
name,
101
Taylor.
Sacks, yeah.
And that was really interesting. And then when Simeon was asked about the Hall of Fame, he was like, just go look at what I did against tackles that were in all, that are in the Hall of Fame now. Look
Richmond
what I
Webb,
did against
Jonathan
them.
Ogden. Yep.
That was an excellent point. Look what I did against them. What more can you say? If he had success against guys that are in the Hall.
Just let me do my thing, Steve. Get him in the room. Let me do my thing. I can work with Simeon. Believe me.
Well, look, the Glazers need to step up and send you to a bunch of road games, even if they're not Bucks games, to go pick out, isolate the key voters, and you can go and
schmooze. One of the problems is that when he retired, he said he was ninth on the sack list. Well, now he's dropped because in the interim, 10 years, guys are passing him.
And just say when he retired, it's all you need to do to qualify it.
More passing now, more sacks now.
Yes, I would just say when he retired, it's all you need to say.
When
he'd qualify it like that.
Yeah, more passing, more sacks, and now we also have more games.
More games,
on top of that. But Simeon, great postseason performer as well.
Yes.
So
that Miles Garrett, that's a good comparison, Lee. Miles Garrett.
Yeah.
Similar,
definitely, yeah.
He had that strip sack from the blind side, Steve. It was a thing of beauty.
You know,
thing of beauty from the blind
side. It's textbook.
Like a tomahawk chop.
Yeah.
Boom.
You know
and
what?
You talked a lot about Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
How they went to the same high school.
Mount Carmel in Chicago. McNabb was a sophomore.
Okay.
And there was a Cushing that played there, too. Mark Cushing, is that sound right? Matt Cushing? There was a Cushing on there, played in the NFL.
He had a lot of confidence, he said, playing against McNabb in the pros because he said he would terrorize him in high school.
Wow.
So, you know, that gave him extra confidence shutting down the vet. Steve, may I put in a little somber note?
Oh, sure.
And I mean this seriously, Lee. You may not agree. There should have been a better turnout for Simeon in the back of the room. It should have been better.
Yeah.
I saw Rondé. Credit Rondé. He showed up, and Simeon was talking about some kind of penalty that wiped out a Barber interception, and I heard Barber in the back of the room. That was the week before against the Niners in the playoffs.
Oh, that was Barber said that?
Yeah, round
eight. Oh, I didn't know that.
But no Brooks. Sapp could be out of town. I mean, everybody could be busy. I understand that.
No All-Star? Or...
No All-Star. Some of his coaches. No Dungy.
That surprised me.
I was a little surprised.
Here's what I remember Rice saying. And I thought it was big ups for Rice. Rice was asked, you know, are you upset you didn't get MVP of the Super Bowl? And you could make a hell of an argument
yes,
he should have been.
Yes, you could.
Dexter Jackson, no offense to Dexter Jackson, had a hell of a game, couple of picks. He got the MVP. Well, Rice immediately said, he goes, hey, any one of my teammates could have gotten that award.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, props to Dexter for getting it. He goes, but Brooks could have got it. And then he even brought up Greg Spiers.
Yeah.
The oft-forgotten Greg Spiers.
Had a good year or two as a Buck.
Yeah, but I give Simeon credit.
I know.
He didn't say, yeah, I should have been MVP. He goes, no. He goes, all kinds of my teammates could have been. And then he pulls out a name that most people have long forgotten about.
Despite, you know, Steve, as self-confident as he is, and he's a very self-confident individual, because he said nobody, in the past, Lee, he's made some outrageous comments like, nobody rushed a passer like me in the history of the NFL. No, nobody. He said things like that. But today, he was very gracious and very humble, and Lee just gave it the latest example.
Anything from the Glazers that stood out from you, Ira?
Well, Brian's getting pretty good at this, Lee. Now, I didn't think there was a teleprompter, and I found out there was a teleprompter.
Yeah, there was.
I think there was.
Yeah, those two panes in glass, yeah.
Okay, all right. But, you know, Brian, years ago, he was a nervous speaker. Right. He's a much more self-assured speaker now.
Confidence.
I thought Gruden could show up. Wait, I expected Chuck.
Well, their union broke up kind of ugly.
They didn't end well.
So yeah. I could see why Gruden
didn't. Was Dave Moore out there?
I didn't see Dave Moore.
No? I didn't see him.
Jimmy Giles, yes. God bless him, always shows up at a Buccaneer.
He does, doesn't he?
He does.
He always shows up.
He's always looking for you, Ira.
Yeah, and by the way, he did buttonhole Ira.
He cornered me.
It's funny because what is he like, 6'4", 260 right now?
Yeah, you know, he's a good golfer. He loves his golf.
Oh, is that right?
We got to get Simeon in the finalists, Steve. He's got to make the final 15. It's never happened. So for you fans that are killing me, I haven't had a chance to do my thing, Steve.
Well, it would be fun to have you argue that. It's a lot of angles to the argument there. We'll see if he gets in. All right, Ira. You know, I brought this up and I needed your perspective just because it's from a legend and you know Todd Bowles so well and you know this guy well. He's actually emailed you with you, which is interesting. So I'm talking about Bill Belichick. And Belichick, you know, he's doing this My Girlfriend Doesn't Run My Life tour and selling his book, which I just ordered, by the way.
Oh.
And you know, I watched enough of his interviews where I'm like, I really want to read this thing. You know,
Pivot Podcast was really good.
He's done so many. So Belichick talked about his persona, you know, with being with the media and grumpy and all this stuff. Now, Belichick tried to sell that as, you know what, we were so good and we're getting so much love everywhere that we're the greatest that I had to be the guy to balance that out. Like, we're not so good. This isn't so exciting. And, you know, and he said I would had to bring things down in the organization and say, look, don't believe the hype. We're not as good as you think. He said there were moments, though, where he felt he had to go the other way when they did have some struggles. Like, hey, it's not so bad. And I have a different week because I'm positive. Now, Todd Bowles was asked about when you were there at the Arians Foundation. He was asked about, now you're playing as the favorite. And Bowles like, nope, never change. Same thing every day. And it really clashed with what Belichick said.
Lee, I'm not buying the Belichick spin. I'm not buying it. I didn't think his brusque manner, to put it mildly, towards the New England media on a daily basis had anything to do with how the Patriots were doing on the field.
No, it's BS.
He just did it.
Yeah, he was borderline hostile.
Now, if you ask him about punt return formation,
the guy's talking
for 40 minutes.
Yeah, which but no one sells one paper for that.
They ask him a pointed question, you know, about a player or an injury. You know, so I'm not buying it, Steve. As far as Bowles is concerned, Lee, I said it before, I'll say it again. He does not mind the high expectations. He doesn't. He's not going to run away from it, and I'm glad he's like that.
One of the Belichick interviews I saw was on the Pivot. It was fantastic. He said this about Brady, and I was interested because Brady played for the Bucs.
Brady!
Yeah, Tom Brady. They asked him, what was his greatest attribute? You can just imagine what he could have picked.
He could have said decision-making.
Well, he said his greatest attribute was limiting negative plays.
That's pretty good.
He said he was so good at getting some type of yardage, no matter what it was. Whether it was, you know, a short pass outside, whether it was running up the middle. And he cited all kinds of examples. He said he was excellent at limiting negative plays. He always got positive plays.
He wouldn't count an incompletion with that, right? Not an incompletion.
Correct, because you didn't lose yards. He actually thought
but
that was a good thing.
He wouldn't call that a positive.
Yes, he did. Okay. He said because you didn't lose yards. He limited negative plays.
Sometimes an incompletion is not the worst thing in the world, Steve. You know?
No, you got to be smart.
Throw it out of bounds.
I got a couple real quick, one of which directly affects the Bucs. Two league issues. First one, supposedly it's going to be voted on this week. Changing the playoff format where you're not guaranteed a home playoff game if you win a division. Your thoughts?
I'm kind of going to go back to what you said a couple of months ago. I'm for reseeding. If the team that won the division is below 500, they don't deserve a home playoff game. Not if you're below 500, which would have affected the
2 years ago.
2022 Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bowles' first year. They didn't deserve a playoff game going 8-9. I'll go with that, Lee.
Okay. The other one is, and this got all started up by, this pops up once in a while, but Mike Greenberg got it started. And I got a big problem with it. he wants the NFL to do like the NBA, do a draft lottery. Now, I know one reason to do that is because they could sell for tens of millions of dollars a show where they pull the ping pong ball out of the basket, which they would. It's the NFL. They can sell anything. Chimpanzees trying to play football in 49ers uniforms. Here's what Albert Breer said. I never thought of this. Albert Breer said if the NFL tried to do a lottery, you'd have more tanking. And Albert Breer's contention is, again, I never thought about this, but it makes all the sense in the world. Let's say you're borderline eighth worst team in the NFL, and they choose the bottom eight teams for the draft lottery. You damn right.
Now you're in the mix.
You damn right you're going to tank a game, because otherwise you'd have no prayer at the top four players. Forget the best quarterback. The top four players are all of a sudden now within range. You damn right you're going to tank. And I'll add to that. You know, people, every once in a while, and this has come up on JoeBucksFan.com. Certainly back when the Bucks were in the race for Jameis. They were like, oh, you can't tank for a game. That's terrible. And I gave the examples where the Bucks in the past should have. Chucky lost a tiebreaker to the Browns. Browns got Joe Thomas. And the Bucks won some lousy-ass forgotten game. And because of that, they lost out on a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, you should tank. But NFL's a business. We hear this all the time. NFL is a business. The NFL's making money hand over fist. And every few months we read where they're laying people off. Yet they got rivers of freaking revenue. But they're killing people's careers, changing their lives. So you don't think if they knew, let's say they had a chance to get the eighth worst pick or the eighth worst record and get in a draft lottery, you don't think they wouldn't tank to maybe get a quarterback and make hundreds of millions of dollars down the road with that tank? Hell yes, they're going to tank. These are businessmen. I'll never forget what a doctor told me one time. There's ethics and there's business, and never combine the two.
Never the twain shall meet. Steve, I might be a little naive.
Lee dropped like six things to talk about there.
Steve,
right there.
I might be a little naive on this one, maybe, but...
Which one?
I don't think tanking is prevalent in the NFL.
Not prevalent.
I don't think it's overwhelming.
It could be, but it's not prevalent. I agree.
You know, maybe if there's a great quarterback that separates himself as the number one pick, maybe.
I don't know what you mean.
But
by...
I don't think Tennessee tanked.
I don't know
they stink.
I don't know what you mean by prevalent, but
widespread.
I disagree with Albert.
Now the Bucks did tank for Jameis.
No
did.
Question.
They did.
And by the way, the guy who whines about that to this day doesn't exactly have a pure resume. Sean Payton.
I disagree with Albert Breer because there already is tanking going on every year all the time.
Well, he said this would make it worse.
I disagree. That's what I'm saying. I disagree. Because you already have teams that fire their coaches early. Okay? That's essentially tanking.
Mm.
Right? Right? If I want to move on from my coach and lose, not every coach gets fired because the message isn't resonating or the players hate him. Sometimes it's just they're not that good, but they're going to keep working. But you bring in an interim guy, everybody's instantly, you know, Jeff, making vacation plans.
I don't know, Steve. I don't know. Sometimes it works the other way.
Sometimes it backfires. Sometimes it backfires. But teams don't do that to try to win. They're trying to lose. Teams have been trading players earlier and earlier, dumping good players. That's why they extended the trade deadline to generate more action. And who trades?
If there's an Andrew Luck, guys, you're going to see some tanking.
Of course, if there's
an Andrew Luck,
but we've seen this year we didn't
have that.
I'm just saying we see it in Week 18 all the time. We've seen it for years.
Not in Houston. Thank you, Lovey.
Yeah, and I don't know. You'd really have to do the math. Is a team going to want to do that? I mean, those early ping pong balls, like Dallas just won the lottery in the NBA. It was like a 1.64% chance. I don't know if there's a lot of teams that are going to necessarily do more to get in there. To the extreme, I don't know if it's worth the gamble.
The chances are zero.
I understand, but in the NFL, your pick is if you tank to go from 10 to try to get to 6, that's still extraordinarily valuable. It's not like you wouldn't tank to get to 6 and then all of a sudden decide, well, let me tank to get to 8 so I can get in the lottery. It's like it doesn't make sense. Like either you want to do better in the draft, like you always say, either you're playing for the draft or you're playing for
You're playing for the Super Bowl or you're playing for the draft. But I could see a team on the cusp of making a potential draft lottery. Like, hell yeah, they're going to tank. Because then now they got, you know, what's the worst they could do? Get the best position at offensive line?
Unrelated issue. One of you guys wrote this up. I thought it was very interesting. Somebody is you know, formulating some kind of a scenario with Von Miller.
Von Miller.
So no, let me be the first to say it before Lee gets his hooks in there. Pass. Not interested. I think he's done.
I would be interested, but certainly not hit his price. No way. I think he's done as far as being a superstar. He might be able to come in and get you a half dozen sacks.
I'm not passing on Trey Hendrickson, but I'm passing on Von Miller.
Ding, 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 ding. If you're going to spend the money that that Von Miller wants, just put that money aside for Trey Hendrickson.
Sage, BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. Third generation family business. They're fantastic. 65 years. Curry's the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E. Bill Curry Ford. And GM Sean Sullivan, his podcast, wrapping up the NFC South draft as a whole, is up on Best in Class. So check that out.
These initiatives are unprecedented, Steve.
Get to the website and also get to Florida's EliteRestoration.com. You got to have them in your disaster plan, and that goes year-round. And they are there for you 24-7. Five-star Google reviews says it all. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. I wanted to throw my two cents in on the league possibly changing the rule. And there's also, they're talking about outlawing the tush-push is up for vote. But with the winning the division, to me, the whole thing's goofy because you're putting the division winner in the playoffs. That's not up for debate. The division winner goes to the playoffs. The question is seeding. So you're making a value judgment that the division winner, their 10-6 record, is not as good as the second place finisher
at
11-6.
11-6, yeah.
So if you're going to actually do that, then you got to look at strength of schedule. If I'm playing in a crap division, why are you rewarding me for having a better record than the whole thing's goofy.
Yeah, it's opening a can of worms.
It's just, you know, if you want to do something wacky, like you said, which every 10 years is a under 500 team makes the playoffs. No, you don't get it.
I didn't say they shouldn't make the playoffs.
You know, no home game.
No home game. I'm fine with that. But just leave it alone.
That's a compromise, Lee. That's a compromise.
I don't think it's a fair compromise.
Yeah. How do you feel about the tush push?
Well, I wonder with Desmond Watson on the Bucs, so many people said, hey, oh, they signed this 400-something-pound guy to maybe use him for the tush push with Vita Vea. And Jason Light, I wouldn't even bring it up, but he acknowledged on this Green Light podcast recently that, well, I can't say it wasn't in the back of my mind.
And they're playing the Eagles. And
they got the Eagles in week 4. So it's goofy to think you'd put a guy on the roster
can
for
guy
one
make
play.
A make a roster for one game for the play
it's
one
possible.
Game. I suggest to people that bring this up all the time, and I said it right away when it happens, I got tired of the comparison. Just go rewatch the Monday night playoff game, Bucks and Eagles in Tampa 2 years ago. And watch what the Bucks did against the Philly tush push. They don't need Watson. Okay. It'd be nice to have a guy like that, provided he makes the team. There's a reason why he wasn't drafted, and it's not like defensive tackle is a weakness of the Bucks. So Bucks don't need it. If he proves himself, okay, fine, great. But the Bucks don't need it.
I'm calling you out, Greg Gaines. Stop the tush push.
He did. He's good at that.
I mean, the Bucks did stop it. They also didn't stop it several times. So I mean, I think they're like, six out
they
of
had
eight
more
or
success
something.
Than most teams.
Yeah.
Are we coming back later in the week with another rollicking podcast?
We will have to dazzle our listeners. Ira, you got a farewell message?
Farewell message. Simeon, you did yourself proud. There's nothing wrong with being emotional. You showed your feminine side. Nothing wrong with that. And by the way, your son's cute.